The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Look who's here. It's the one, the only, Mr. Lance Parker. Lance, good afternoon.
Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Always good. And I just as a real quick side note, loved the story yesterday about your pup.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Heard that at the 3 o'clock. And the tagline should be, get on the treadmill, I'm coming home.
Yeah, really. That dog has got to lose some weight. Lance is here at my invitation because there are two big stories related to homelessness that we want to talk about. And then when we take phone calls, we'll let you choose which one you want to talk about. Let's start with Arizona. I go to the Los Angeles Times. Here in Arizona, a novel of response has emerged, one that has alarmed homeless rights advocates and mayors, but could win favor among a public that has grown weary and in some cases angry with public encampments. Voters will decide this November on a ballot initiative, catch this, to award property owners tax refunds if they can prove monetary damages resulting from their local government's failure to enforce nuisance laws. Let me repeat that. Voters will decide this November on a ballot initiative that would award property owners tax refunds if they can prove monetary damages resulting from their local government's failure to enforce nuisance laws. Lance, what's going on here? What's Arizona trying to do?
You know, it's, to me, it's another level of frustration by people who are looking at the failure of government to help, you know, that something they told us they were going to solve, which was homelessness. So it's... They're just frustrated, and this is something that's coming out of the frustration. It'll be interesting to see if it passes. I have no dog in the fight here. It's Arizona. I'm going to say it's probably going to pass, and then the whole thing is
then it comes here.
It won't come here. It won't come here. The thing is though, how do they enforce it? According to the article, it's a very vague initiative, but in essence, what it really comes down to is if the homeowner, the resident, the property owner can prove that they had to do some type of mitigation to protect their property, to protect themselves because of the lack of whether it be criminal ordinances involved, health ordinances involved, they had to do something because of the failure of government, they can sue and apply for tax refunds based on, and it could be just putting bars on your house or some type of security guard on your property.
That's the example I was going to use just as a hypothetical. If you're a small business owner, like say over here on Prado Road,
yeah,
and you've got problems with the local homeless people and the police aren't helping you or the city isn't helping you, and you've got to put on security bars or security cameras, you'll now be able to write that cost off.
Well, not necessarily. Well, you'd be able to probably most likely write it off as a property, as a business expense, but you'd be able to recoup those costs by suing the city, saying you failed.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Failed to protect me. You failed to protect my property, and because of your negligence, you owe me.
There's no doubt in my mind that this is going to pass in Arizona.
That's what I say. But then again, once it passes, then what challenges in the Arizona courts? Does it go all the way to the Supreme Court like Oregon has? I haven't obviously read the initiative, but based on the article, there's a lot of vagueness to it, like what would qualify, what wouldn't qualify. So, you know, I look at it as the broader picture. It's just another level of frustration that people are having at the failure of government.
But here's a way to get local government to do more, I guess would be the argument, because if everybody starts filing claims against, say, the city of San Luis Obispo, either the city of San Luis Obispo has to pay all this stuff out and keep paying it, or they got to go do something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it could very well be. I think it was in the article they were talking about the mayor of Phoenix is saying, you know what, we're worried about this because we don't know how much time and effort this is going to start costing the city on the budget. So they might look and go, you know what, it's a lot cheaper for us to start enforcing the ordinances and the laws that are already on the books that could alleviate these issues. And, you know, that's one of the problems they're having is we're just not enforcing the current laws and standards that are on the books. And I think that's where the frustration comes from, especially in Arizona, is they're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
14,000 homeless currently in Arizona.
Yeah. And you know, we're about 160,000, so we're maybe, you know, they're one-tenth, but they're one-tenth the population. So on a per capita basis, we're about the same as far as homeless. So, you know, 14,000, I'm sure 14,000 are, there's more than 14,000 just down in L.A. County.
It seems clear, though, that public officials statewide, locally in California, they don't seem to have the answer to homeless.
Nobody does. No, nobody really does. And I've been on here before, and we've talked about this before, and that's my issue is we don't have a true understanding. Everybody wants to say, oh, it's mental health. Oh, it's lazy people. Oh, it's people that are coming across the border illegally. There are so many layers to this. If we say, oh, it's mental health, well, let's just put money to mental health. Well, you know, according to a study that I read, an initiative that's coming out of L.A., 95 to 96% who would qualify as serious mental illness are housed. So we're talking a very small portion of seriously mental illness people, I'm going to say, are housed, and it's a very small portion that aren't. So how are the majority of them being housed? It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Lance Parker back on Hometown Radio. In this first segment, we've been focusing on a voter initiative. The people of Arizona are going to get to vote on this in November. But I predict that if this passes, and I think it will pass, other states will consider it. And the question on the ballot is whether or not to award property owners tax refunds if they can prove monetary damages resulting from local government not enforcing nuisance laws. In other words, not enforcing laws against homeless people. When we come back, we want to add another issue into the mix, and then we'll welcome your calls. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Lance Parker on this broadcast talking about two different approaches that are being talked about in terms of dealing with homelessness. One is the voter initiative that is going to go on the ballot in November over in Arizona. But I stand by what I've been saying. If that passes, I think other states will at least consider it. Second part, money. This is the LA Times. A monthly payment of $750 to $1,000 would allow thousands of the cities, meaning L.A., homeless people to find informal housing, living in boarding homes, in shared apartments, and with family and friends, according to a policy brief by four prominent L.A. academics. The authors say, quote, put simply, many unhoused people in Los Angeles have a central problem much more easily addressed than mental illness or substance abuse. They are extremely poor. L.A. has created a very complex, bureaucratic, and expensive system that struggles to find even interim housing for those who are unhoused. That system ignores the potential of many unhoused people to solve their housing problems if they had a little more money. So, Lance, as I understand it, these four academics are calling for homeless people in L.A. to be given $1,000 a month.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, I mean, hang on to your hats here. I'm all for this.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah, I know. In the sense of, well, in the sense of, if we're going to help homeless people, reading the study from the four academics, their approach really is has some sound fundamentals, and it'll be cheaper in the long run. And what the article really doesn't talk about is a person with $1,000 can go to a place and say, "Oh, I see you have a room for rent for $800 a month. I'd like to rent that room." "Oh, great. I will rent you that room." It's between that person and the person who has the room. If they go through the government to find housing, the government has to go and find that and tell the person, "Okay, we want to rent your room to put a homeless person in here. Oh, but by the way, you have to fill out this 50-page application, and you have to have this, 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 and this done." So really what this money is doing by giving it directly to the people who can use it is you're cutting out the middleman, i.e. the government, and it will help kind of close some of the problems of the bureaucracy of trying to help the homeless. And if we do that, maybe that'll save something, because we won't need to have such fat government roles, and these people will need to find other jobs than working for the bureaucracy.
Back on the article, the authors are clear. No vouchers, no rules, no bureaucracy. Just give them cash. About two-thirds of homeless people lived in informal housing before becoming homeless, mostly renting rooms from other people, and $1,000 would give them enough to do that. Even in Los Angeles, that's enough.
Yeah, because let's say you have somebody who is homeless but still working, but they're $300, $500 short each month from getting a place or having a shared room or some type of in a boarding house or being able to fix their car so they can get to work or whatever it might be. What it does is it cuts out the middleman of the bureaucracy and puts the money right in the hands.
They quote a USC study looked at the impact of giving homeless people $750 per month. After 6 months, almost 30% of people who receive basic income exited homelessness. Is that enough? 30% success rate?
It's better than anything else I've heard. I mean, 30%. Because here again, it's the complexity of the whole program. Not everybody who's homeless wants to live in a home. You have a very prominent caller who calls in here who enjoys their time not being in a home. I've always gone back to, what is the goal? Tell me when we have solved this problem. What goal are we trying to achieve? Of that 30%, let's say 50% of them don't want to live in a home. So I'd go, you know what? That's a 60% success rate. That's pretty good. Better than we've seen with any other program.
I'm trying to make sense of these text messages. On the Storberg line, I'm trying to translate this. That's BS. You still have to fill an application with the homeowner.
See,
I guess he's trying to argue that there's still going to be bureaucracy.
But there's no law, there's no requirement that you have to fill out an application with the homeowner. If the homeowner says, "I want to rent to you, I'm going to rent to you," so be it.
Well, so let's keep the bureaucracy and make it clear that instead of just giving the homeless person $1,000 cash, "Oh, you've got a place, we'll pay your landlord directly."
But that doesn't work. That's what they're doing now with the different programs that they have. Especially in LA, they can't do that, and they're not, and that's what this thought and idea from these four academics are, is let's just give them the money straight out and let them do what they want with it
with no accountability.
Why not?
What's wrong with accountability?
What's wrong with just giving them the money?
I prefer accountability since it's my money. It's taxpayer money.
Okay, what accountability do we have now? We have no accountability because there's been study after study. CalMatters just came out with an article, $24 billion spent in California the last 5 years on homelessness. We don't know where any of that money went.
On the Stolberg line, giving them money is not the answer. Offer them employment and discount their rent.
Here again, you're talking about getting the government involved. Giving them the money,
You're a libertarian.
It gets the government out of this.
On the Stolberg line, if the Japanese can solve this problem, so can we. Give me a break. Well, when I was in Amsterdam last month, they didn't have a homeless problem. So other governments have solved it, but I don't know how.
Well, okay, let's talk about culturally. You know, Japan, California and Japan, you can't compare culturally. You know, you've got basically a monoculture there compared to California. You've got, you know, the I have not been in Amsterdam, but you've got a lot of the majority of the, especially the Scandinavian countries, you've got a monoculture there. And a lot of their problems that they're starting to arise throughout that area is because they're losing their monoculture. We've both been to Iceland. We didn't see any homeless people in Iceland, but you've got a very controlled culture there. They only let certain people in. We could do the same.
Because they're an island.
Because, yeah, exactly. They're not. Well, there's no reason that California can't be an island. We determine who comes and who doesn't come.
On the Stolberg line, there's no homeowner going to rent you a room without a background check.
Wrong. I can tell them that they are 100% wrong. If they're saying 100% of every homeowner will do a background check, they're wrong. And I have proof of it.
How's that? Wait a minute. Everybody does a background check now.
I don't. I don't do a background check on my tenants.
Why not?
I trust the tenants, and I haven't had a problem.
Susan's on the Stolberg line. Hey, Susan. What about those with alcohol or drug addiction? What if giving money is enabling? That'd be my concern.
So there's been studies that show that that's really not that big of an issue. And it's the four academics cite study after study of that, that it's one of those things. If you give people, homeless people, they're just going to spend it on alcohol and drugs and whatever else. And it really, for the most part, most people will use it to better their lives.
Lance Parker is making history on Hometown Radio. He's actually come out in favor of a program giving $1,000 a month to homeless people in Los Angeles.
So based on what the article said, it was going to be for a three-year period, 1,000 people, 1,000 a month for a three-year period. And then they were going to give money to individuals who had just come out of the foster system.
We'll talk. Lance is here. You're here. We're here. We'll welcome your calls as we continue. I'm Dave Congleton. Still to come on this broadcast at 6:05, Jerry Shea shares life in Oregon. He moved there in February. And then let's hear from Kerry Murray, the CEO of Shelterbox, really great humanitarian organization doing good things around the world. We're back with Lance Parker. Homelessness, major problem, challenge everywhere. What do we do about it? Well, in Arizona, they've put this issue on the November ballot, whether to award property owners tax refunds if they can prove monetary damages resulting from local government not enforcing nuisance laws. So you got to put up a security camera. You got to put up security bars because you have a homeless problem. You can sue the city. Get some refunds. Second issue, in Los Angeles, they're looking at the idea of $1,000 a month for homeless people. And Lance is surprising me. He likes this idea.
I like the idea just because it's limiting the form of government. It's limiting the government. One of the things I was going to say before the break, they were talking $1,000 a month for 3 years, 1,000 people in the program. They were going to take another 1,000, I think, young people who had just come out of the foster care system, and we're going to give them 750 or 1,000. I can't remember exactly what for 2 years. So over that 3 year period, Los Angeles would spend $50 million. Just giving $1,000. $50 million, that's it. They've been spending billions.
So we save money.
That's exactly it. We save money. Maybe we can also reduce the size of government because we don't need the bureaucrats taking care of homeless when they're not really taking care of homeless. They're lining this money is going the current money is going somewhere, and it's not going to the people who they're trying to help. People are getting rich off of this, and it's not the people they're trying to help because there's no evidence that the help is actually getting done.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Just a program note. I'm really happy to read many of your text messages, but ask yourself this one question. Would I call into the show and have my voice identified saying some of the stupid things I'm texting in? With respect. All right. Seriously, you want me to read some of this crap? Instead, we'll talk to Jack in San Luis. Hey, Jack.
Dave.
Jack.
And Lance.
Hi, Jack.
Why do we think it stops at $1,000, though? That's just a made-up number. I mean, it's typical. And it would be a typical government bureaucracy because it would have to be managed by a bureaucracy. But they say, okay, it's $1,000. Why is it not $2,000? Why is it not a living wage? I mean, I think this is a very dangerous path to go down by entrusting people who clearly, in some cases, have issues to say, okay, $1,000 is enough.
I don't understand
the logic behind it. I saw the CalMatters report, too. I agree. Whatever system is there and the billions of dollars we're throwing at it is not working. But why is it just $1,000? Why is it not $1,132?
I totally 100% agree with you because there's never been a government program that's ever gone away. What I would also say, and I probably neglected to say in the first half of the show, is if we do this, we have to get rid of other stuff. We've got it. If you think about this, $24 billion has been spent on homelessness over the last 5 years. Roughly 150 to 170,000 homeless here in California. You know what that works out to? About $150,000 per person. We could have just given them that and said, you guys are on your own and end of story. We're not dealing with homelessness. And it would have been the same amount of money.
But you still need bureaucracy in order to distribute the money.
But
you can't
but,
get rid of bureaucracy.
The point, though, is I think it's a better use. It's kind of like if we've got a dollar, what's the best way of using that dollar? I think this is a better program than giving $24 billion with no evidence, no transparency, and no accountability.
What else, Jack?
Well, that's all I got. I just think that it's one of those things that's just, yeah, I mean, it's a challenging issue. I mean, it clearly is, but I just figure that it'll just grow anyway, and it'll be in the billions. And we'll have nothing to show for it in the end. But anyway, great segment.
Thank you, Jack. Ever cynical. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Steven's in the Pomo. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you.
Good. I don't think throwing money at them is going to be the answer. Because what I think is going to end up happening, you do that, a lot of other people are going to say, "Oh, I'm going to be homeless now."
For $1,000,
and then you're going to have thousands and thousands of people that are going to just quit their job. If you're just going to give them $3,000, who wants to work then? If you're going to get free money,
well, can you live on $1,000 a month, Stephen?
No, I'm saying, like he said, $1,000 is not enough. So why don't we up it? So if everybody, if they say we're going to give $3,000 to help the homeless, well,
gotcha.
Then.
Yeah.
Everybody in California is just going to say, "Oh, I'm going to be homeless because the government is just going to give me
$3,000, why work?
Well, I can tell you this, Stephen, that's already happening right now. I know somebody specifically in my life who is tapping into SSI, tapping into state resources, hasn't worked for over 30 years. So it's already happening.
Right, but you're going to add on to that. With a different program, you're wanting to start a separate program. That's just going to increase it. That's not going to help people to want to work. They're just going to be like, oh, they're giving more money out. Now we're really going to, and they're upping it to like 3,000 instead of 1,000.
Well,
I'll quit my job today. I'll sit at home.
But no one's saying that.
No one's saying that.
It's $1,000 a month for 3 years.
Yeah, $1,000 a month for 3 years. Nobody's saying $3,000 a month.
See, both callers we've had so far are suspicious.
Yeah.
They don't think it's just going to be $1,000. Stephen and Jack both think we're going to go up.
And you know what? And I agree with Jack. My cynical side always says it's going to go up. But so without doing anything different, we're doing the same stuff over and over again, and we're $24 billion in this hole with nothing to show for it. I would rather try something different with that money, not add this money on top of it, but do something different with the current money.
What else, Stephen?
I agree, but I think that the answer is they need to just help them get a job. Because it's just going to incentivate them not to want to work or do anything. It's not going to help.
I appreciate the call. Stephen, thank you very much for calling in. So this is going to take away their incentive. What does the research say?
One of the things, and this was kind of brought up before, it says one of the long-standing stereotypes about poor people in this country is that they have resources, they spend them on what economists call temptations, tobacco, alcohol, drugs, but Stanford University and the World Bank examined findings of 19 studies around the world and that found that cash expenditures had opposite effects on expenditures on temptation goods. USC has been doing a randomized controlled study of giving people basic goods, and they kind of found the same thing. They don't spend it on bad things.
Stephen, thank you. We go to Chris in Los Osos. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Boy, tough topic, huh?
We're trying.
Yeah. Yeah. Lance, you said that there's nothing to show for all that billions. Well, maybe the absence of proof is proof of absence, right? Maybe our problems will be twice or three times as bad as they are now if we hadn't been spending this money on it. Maybe we would just be, up to our necks in homeless people if we hadn't been doing these. And some programs do go away, and some programs do work. I'm not going to condemn the whole system. I mean, we've got these little tiny houses going in at different five cities. And I don't think anybody out there is going to live off, quit their jobs and move under the bridge for $1,000 or $3,000 a month. Nobody's desiring to be homeless because it's such a financial boom.
Yeah.
I look and I think back over my time. Why do we have the amount of homeless today compared to where we were 50 years ago? What is it? What has changed? What is it? Why do we have this to the point where? So you almost start wondering: have we created a cottage industry of taking care of homeless, which then perpetrates creating homeless? Because without the homeless, the cottage industry goes away.
Man, you're cynical.
Human nature.
That's an interesting point, yeah. But I don't think it feeds on itself up. And I don't know what the numbers are today compared to 20, 30 years ago. I do know that Reagan closed all of developmental centers.
Right.
And that put a lot of people on the street. So because he was trying to normalize them, which I think had a bad effect. And currently, they were homeless people. So I don't know if there's a root cause.
It's interesting because I've been on the show and I've talked about this before. And the four scholars who came up with this idea and this report that presented to L.A. It says, according the official policy of L.A. is to prioritize helping chronically homeless people with seriously mental illness and substance abuse for humanitarian and fiscal responsibilities. Yeah. What they found was that there 95% of people in L.A. County have serious mental illness, are not homeless. Hmm. How do they have homes and they're seriously mentally ill?
So, Chris, what do you think of the idea of $1,000 a month?
Well, it reminds me of that guy that was running on the campaign was years back about, guaranteed income, guaranteed living, wage.
Andrew Yang.
Yeah, that guy. That was interesting. I wouldn't begrudge a supplement. We supplement some other areas, with the fresh food stamps programs. I don't think the homeless and the money that's going into homeless is a tenth of the issue of our overall budget constraints. I mean, and I don't want to change the topic, but cut 10% off the Pentagon, and all these issues go away.
Then where do we go with that money? Chris, good to hear from you. Thank you. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. In Los Angeles, recommendations, we take 1,000 people who are homeless.
1,000 homeless people.
Give them $1,000 each per month
for three years.
See if that gets them out of homelessness. Jeff is in San Luis. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you folks?
We're good.
I'm going to 100% agree with your guest that it's a huge problem with the misuse of the monies that are out there designated to put a curve on this program that we're watching, and it never gets there. It never gets to its destination, and people are lining their pockets with gold while they twiddle their thumbs. But the real problem that has to be addressed is I've gone out and I've interviewed and videotaped an unreal amount of the homeless people. And most of them do share in common that they have a drug abuse problem and or alcohol of some sort.
Yeah.
And I have video of someone hocked up on their choice of drugs, their arms flapping around, they're very mentally ill, and that very same person stoned sober when they're rehabilitated for a while. You'd never know that they had any mental illness. They look like a real clean-cut Cal Poly kid.
So what about the $1,000, Jeff? That's the topic.
What I would like to see, if you give it to a drug addict or an alcoholic, they're going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. They'll have a heyday.
But let me jump in. Jeff, we just read the studies from the four academics that said...
Yeah, there's evidence that shows that is not the case. That's a stereotype. Is it 100%? No. No, it isn't. But it's not every dollar that a drug addict gets would go to drugs.
What else, Jeff?
A good portion. How about spend that money and give them a bed in an actual real rehab that's going to put their brain to use, not put lock them in a room twiddling their thumbs, going nuts, thinking about drugs? How about a real rehab? Get their mind constructive, get them self-employed, make them responsible members of our society.
Of course, we're only talking about 1,000 people in a pilot program.
Yeah, and that's it. Currently, City of Los Angeles has been spending in their Inside Safe program, $3,400 per month for a single hotel room. So let's keep going down that road. Yeah. 3,400 or maybe 1,000. You know, one of the problems is they're talking about, and I can't remember the term that was used, but it's like we want them to be in a three-bedroom, two-bath house in the suburbs. Well, maybe it's shared housing. Maybe it's co-living. There, maybe it's something that's an unpermitted room.
Jeff, thank you for the call. We move on. We got Stan in San Luis. Hi, Stan.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Good.
I just out of the social services when I was 18, and I had a job washing dishes. I had to sleep in my car for 6 or 8 months. Excuse me. And I dropped out of high school because I just didn't feel like going, and it was difficult for me to go. So, $1,000 extra would have helped quite a bit, back then, back in the 70s. But I migrated to San Francisco, and I found that there were really cheap hotels you can rent for like $12 a week. They're really, shabby. And there were drunks and hookers as neighbors. But, I found a place to live, and I did jobs like, bike messengers, kind of menial jobs.
So, Stan, where are we going with this? What do you think about the $1,000 a month?
We lost Stan.
It sounds like pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Well, but like he was saying, I'm not going to put words in Stan's mouth, but, had he gotten that $1,000 or whatever at that time, maybe he wasn't renting a $12 a week room. Maybe he could have done a $50 a week room that might have been a little better, but he just needed that little bump in that instance.
On the Stolberg line, the mentally ill Lance is addressing that are housed are in the Department of State hospitals.
So the 95% are in state hospitals.
I don't think there's that many.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back for a final segment with Lance Parker. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Back on the phones we go. Here is Scott in San Luis. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Lance.
Hi, Scott.
Sam Kinison once said, why do you want to put feed the homeless and housing the homeless where you'll never fix the problem? And he said, I'm trying to remember, he said, why don't you just put them where the food and the housing is? So I think people living in L.A. and you're homeless in L.A., you're more likely going to stay homeless in L.A. So I think it's
why
to drive them to areas where they can start a new life and get on a new path. Because, listen, they're homeless all over Los Angeles, and they're never going to get out of the slum.
But don't they?
No matter how much money you're going
to
give them.
But don't they have the right? Don't they have the right to live in L.A. if they want to?
Well, yeah. But is it good for them? Are they addicted to L.A.? Is it bad for them to be in L.A.? I mean, yeah. Maybe they're better off to go somewhere in another state where maybe relatives. Who knows why they're stuck?
I know what you're saying, Scott, because I would not force people. It's like, you're addicted to LA, we got to get you out of here. But I would rather see, it's like, I've got an opportunity in Biloxi, Mississippi, because I've got family there, whatever, but there's no way I can get there, and there's no way I can get established there. Well, we're going to help you to get there.
We'll give you $1,000 a month.
Because if you think about it, during the Depression, how many people migrated to California at that time looking for a better, with no assistance, no nothing? All you got to do is, read The Grapes of Wrath or talk to my mother coming from Utah. Yeah. She came out here for a better life.
Not quite the same as coming from Oklahoma. What else,
yeah.
Scott?
I think if they're planning $1,000 a month for 3 years for 1,000 people, then the city of Los Angeles can find $1,000 a month for 3 years for 1,000 people that are scheming welfare and social services in L.A. I'm sure that's out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Scott. Yeah. Thank you. Craig, I got about 30 seconds.
Homeless solution, divide them by the issue and conquer the overall problem. Help those who want help. The ones that don't want help, leave them alone. Provide care for those incapable of caring for themselves. Scale that help according to mental capacity.
Yeah. I have to agree with that, because one of the things I was going to talk about here, because I the person in my life deals with a lot of mental people, let's just say.
Well, you guys are a perfect match.
I know. Exactly. You know, and you have to look at each individual person on an individual basis. If this person loves being out on the street, leave them alone. Just let them be. And this person out on the street is really trying to make a go of it, and for whatever reason, life got in their way, help that person out.
You know what the beauty of today is? Other than another nice job by Lance Parker. All these phone calls across three segments, we've had no duplicate callers.
Yeah.
Each segment was totally different people. Another nice job by Lance Parker. Lance, thanks as always for your support.
Always, always a pleasure.
Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather, back with Jerry Shea explaining his recent move to Oregon. And then let's meet Kerry Murray, CEO of Shelterbox. This is Hometown Radio.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.